It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans. We're doing our survey study. If you recall the last few weeks, and I've sure enjoyed it. I hope you have too, as we kind of just review what we had learned as we studied the book of Romans. And we're going to be in the eighth chapter today, and we're going to study the section from verse 28 to 34. And so please that you would open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and that's where we'll begin today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And also, you could go to parkviewbible@gmail.com if you'd like to email us, or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either is just fine, but the website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Love for you to go there. Hopefully, it will be a help. It gives you the plan of salvation, our church constitution, and then many, many studies that we have placed up there. And so please, verse-by-verse studies of the Word. I hope that it helps you and enjoy it and can continue to grow in the Lord, come to know the Lord Jesus, and also grow in the Lord Jesus. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, to whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What a wonderful scripture verse to read, and we'll now begin, as we always do, with prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank You and praise You for Your precious Word. Thank You for the opportunity today to come together once again. Open Your Word and enjoy it. It's such a joy. So please, dear Lord, that You'll just guide and lead us through Your Word today, that we may grow and not only know You as our Savior, but then turn to You and make You our Lord. Understand that everything, as this Scripture has just told us, that if we serve You, if we walk with You, it is going to be nothing but joy and a wonderful life. And Father, we know that doesn't mean that there's not going to be heartache and pain and suffering, maybe physical, maybe a lot of things go on in this world that are very wicked, but it means that You will be with us in all strength and power to go through those things. So we can take them from being something that almost destroys us to something that brings victory. And so please, You just show us that not only You save us from our sin, You've taken our sin away, but also You will give us victory through this life. So please, guide and lead us, dear Lord, today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful study. And we begin with a verse that is quoted many, many times. We know that all things work together for good. That's as far as most folks go. And so we need to understand that that section only is not the truth. It's not all the truth. For we know that all things work together for good. Well, please go on to the rest of it. To them that love God. Now, you need to understand that. Because so many times, and I've heard over and over again, people that quote that scripture verse. Oh, you know, we know that all things work together. All things work together for good. That is not true. It's only true with those and to those that love God. Now, to love God, we need to understand that precious word there. We need to serve Him. We need to praise Him. This man has stated, this includes all the outgoings of the soul's affections towards God as the chief good and highest end. It is our love to God that makes every providence sweet and therefore profitable. Those that love God make the best of all He does and take all in good part. And so please understand, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that verse does not apply to you at all. Because the only way that you can love God the Father is to come to know and love the Son. But you must come to know Him first as your personal Savior. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you never tire in hearing me talk about Jesus and His salvation that's given to you freely. But you must, as the Spirit of God convicts your heart this morning, you must turn to Him and accept Him as your Savior, and set out to serve Him. Now, if you choose to trust Him as your Savior, and you put aside and you decide to go back into the world, number one, I would question whether you're saved. Because if you're truly saved, your heart will change, and your desires will change, and you'll want to serve Him. You'll want to praise Him. You'll want to walk each day with Him. You'll want to please Him. And so there's the difference, because so many folks that come and they say, yes, I want to trust in Jesus, and then you never see Him again, or they never come, they never work, they never serve. Well, there's a difference between what your mouth says and what has happened in your heart. And I'm afraid that many, many people that make a statement from their mouth and from their head, from their mind, it has not gotten down to the heart where the Spirit of God has to touch and has to change. And so please, if your life has not changed, if you do not realize and have a yearning and a calling and a desire for the Word of God, I would check your heart, because if you would die today, I'm afraid that you'd be hellbound and you would not wake up in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And so please that you look to the Lord Jesus, but don't miss what this verse says. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. That means you have surrendered your heart and your life. Some of you maybe say that, boy, there's so many things happened to me. Well, where are you, if you're born again, where are you spiritually in your service and surrender to God? Where are you? Have you come to Him? Have you asked Him to lead you? Have you asked Him for strength? Have you asked Him for wisdom? And have you spent time with Him? I love studying the Word of God. I love proclaiming the Word of God. It is a joy. I get to do it many times through a week. And every time I have that opportunity, it is an opportunity of joy, of love, to give out the Word of God. Not to condemn and criticize anyone, but to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. It's a free gift of salvation. Trust in Him today. Be saved today. And begin, then, that wonderful walk, walking in His steps, not yours. And if you just don't feel His strength, and yet you know that you're born again, it's because you don't spend any time with Him. So I'm asking you today that if you're born again, and if you want the blessings that He has to offer, then you need to start walking with Him. Start searching His Word and His will. Love Him with all your heart. And you're going to find a total difference in your life if you would just do that. If you would do that, you would see such a change, a wonderful, wonderful change in your life. Is everything going to go perfect? No. But you're going to have someone that's going to carry you through. Now, if you choose to turn your back on God, and if you're saved, the Scripture tells us you'll be saved so as by fire. But, you know, there is the works that we're to be doing, not for our salvation, don't misunderstand that, but that we can get the blessings of God, get blessed by the Creator of this world. How can anything be more wonderful than that, than to have a perfect God desiring, wanting to bless you? Well, it starts with us. It starts with a decision to trust in Jesus as our Savior. Then it moves from there to wanting to serve Him. He seals you. We're saved. That's it. And so, well, I'm saved. Now I can do anything I want to do. Well, let's search the Word, because if you want to have the joy, and there is joy in this life, if you want to have that joy and that peace and that love that's there, you need to start getting to know the Creator and the Savior, your Lord. Get to know Him. And the only way you can do that is through His living Word. And the more you get to know Him, the more you're going to love Him, the more you're going to want to serve Him, and the happier you're going to be. So I just ask that be a joy that you can experience. And so please don't miss it. Now, the last half of this verse of Scripture, again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, sometimes that walk, let me just spell a little bit more on this before we move on. Sometimes we're going to walk through some valleys, but there's a reason for that. And that is the time that you can hang on to that promise. I know that all things work together for good because I love God. I'm serving God, and He's going to take care of me. So even though I'm going down through this dark valley, He is going to hold on to me, and He's going to care for me. I've got something here to learn so I can be a better servant to Him. And so please, as you're walking down through that valley, don't criticize God, don't condemn God for what you're going through. Look to Him and say, oh, I praise You. There's something for me to learn here. Grow me, dear Lord. I thank You for Your salvation. I praise You for Your love. And I know that You're going to bring this through to Your honor and glory. Not to mine and not to yours, but to His. To God's honor and glory. And once you begin to study His Word, you're going to recognize that very fact. That what's important is that what you do is for His honor and glory. To them who are called according to His purpose. To them that are called according to His purpose. called according to an eternal purpose. The call is by God's grace, not by any merit. And once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the work begins. Now, these words that continue down through here are words that many, many times people decide to look away from or not to study. It's kind of like the book of Hebrews. A lot of people don't want to study the book of Hebrews. Well, go back and study the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And you're going to find that Leviticus and Hebrews come hand in hand. And once you understand the one, you're going to understand the other. A lot of people that try to study the book of Hebrews are not saved. They're not born again. And if you're not born again, none of this, you know, you'll read it, you'll study it. Yes, I believe it, but you're not getting any of the good from it until you're saved. You need to trust in Jesus so that you can have the Spirit of God in your heart to teach you His ways. We're going to go through these verses of Scripture, and we're going to very carefully, very simply explain them because it's a wonderful verse. And so we find here, to them who are called according to His purpose. And so how do we become called? All right, let's look down through here in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Those two verses of Scripture are so powerful for us to understand. It does not take away the free will that we have. God has not set out that certain folks are going to be saved and certain folks can't be saved. The opportunity of salvation is poured out to everyone, and it is a free gift handed to anyone that will accept the gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, all that He has paid for at the cross of Calvary, at His death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of His blood. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And so we need to understand here now, as we look at these Scripture verses, we have a free will of yes, we're going to come, and yes, or no, we're not. He knows whether you have made that decision to trust in Him or reject Him. He knows, God knows that decision. He knew that decision before the foundations of the world. Foreknew, to foreknow. He knew who was going to choose Him and who was not going to choose Him. Now, that proves us of the great love that our God has for us. He knew who was going to trust in Him and be born again, be saved. And yet, Jesus died for all. What love, when you would have the opportunity and the ability to know someone, say in your life, and that they were going to trust you, they were going to be your best friend, or the opposite side, that they would be a thief and they would steal and they'll take anything they could take from you. They are your worst enemy. Now, if you would know that, if you could look into the future and know which was going to be your best friend, which was going to be your worst enemy, and you had a choice that you could offer them an inheritance. And so that inheritance is put out for either one. yet you know which one is going to use it to the benefit of themselves and to others, and the other one's just going to waste it. He's going to gamble it away. He's going to drink it away. He's going to smoke it away. He's going to use it on drugs. He's going to use all those things there. Yet you have allowed the opportunity of both of them to have that. Now, one accepts it, and one does not. But our God has offered, and that's a poor example, but that gives you a small idea when God can look down and see that one is going to accept and one's going to reject. One's going to waste their life and die and go to hell, even though I have died for them. I have given them every opportunity to trust in me. And yet they don't. Yet Jesus still died for that person. They went to hell. They died. If you've got someone that a family member, a friend that had nothing to do with church, never wanted anything to do with the Scripture, rejected everything, and they died without Jesus, that gift of salvation was left on the table. It was right there for them to accept that gift. It was just as if you went to a birthday party and it was your birthday, and there was gifts on the table, and you come and you looked at that and you says, no, I'm satisfied. I got what I want. I'm living the way I want to live. I'm not going to open one of those gifts. I'm not going to accept one of those gifts and turn around and walk out. That gift is right there. It's right there for you right now if you would just come by faith and trust in him. But you see, God knew that. God knew who would and who would not accept him as Savior, and yet he died for all. So by him knowing, though, then those that have trusted in him, those that have come by faith to Jesus, then from that free gift on, he has set a life of service to him and of joy for us that's set before us because he knew we were going to trust in him. He knew we were going to believe that we're a sinner and we're lost and we need a Savior and we're going to trust in Jesus and him solely for our salvation. And because we have done that, and God knew that, then he has set our life forwards, predestined. And so he has set a life before us that will bring all glory and honor to our God. Now, we still have a free will. We have trusted him as our Savior, but we still have choices to make. But God has put a plan out there before us that will allow us to serve him and praise him and honor him and have joy in our hearts while we do it. That's been set before us. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Where does the most joy come from? Is when we become more like Jesus. When do we bring more honor and glory unto our God and Father? Is through living and being more like Jesus. That's how. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate. And why are we predestinated? Why is the predestination present? Is because God knew that my free will I would choose to come. When the Spirit of God convicted my heart, I said yes, and I have surrendered to the Lord Jesus, and I love serving the Lord Jesus, and I love the power and the presence and the wisdom that he gives. I love the joy that he offers, the peace that he gives me. Nothing can match it. I look at all many people in the world that have much more wealth than I have, and they're miserable. Because everything they're doing is for their own glory. And whatever they do satisfies for just a fleeting moment. And then the satisfaction's gone. And so then you go for something else and something else and something else, trying to satisfy you. But the only thing that really satisfies is Jesus and the love that you have for Him in serving Him. And so this is a very simple, simple thing. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. All right, now we're back here to the called. And so back to 28, to them who are called according to His purpose. How did we become one of the called? Through the foreknowledge of God. He knew who would or would not trust in Him. And for all those that would, He has set a beautiful life before us. And that's where that comes in, to them who are called according to His purpose. We are called according to His purpose because we have chosen by faith to trust in Jesus. And this predestination here is because of God's foreknowledge. God knew who was going to trust in Him by faith, by their free will, and who was not. And so those that do, then God has set before them a wonderful life. Those that have rejected, they're just in the world. They have none of these advantages. They cannot say, they do, but they cannot say, we know that all things work together for good. No, they don't. No, they don't. Only to those who love God. And so you see, all these benefits are poured out to us only if we, after we've come by faith to Jesus, and then begin to walk and to serve Him. And He has given us a beautiful plan that is set before us to accomplish that, to have the joy. How do we become one of the called? And so we can really have that. It is because of the foreknowledge of God, but that decision, it all comes back to a decision that you and I need to make concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes back to that. It all comes back to that. And when we truly trust in Him as our Savior, then God lays a plan out for us. And that plan is for His purpose. But that plan, when you follow His plan, it will only bring joy to you. It'll only bring excitement to you. It'll only just, you'll have the fullest life you can ever imagine. And it would probably be a life that you've been searching for all of your life. But because you have rejected this free gift of salvation, you said, no, I haven't rejected it. Well, you haven't come by faith to Him. You said, no, I'm in church. I understand all this. Well, please come by faith to Jesus. Please call upon the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And then all this will unfold. That life that God has set before you is there. If you do not, then the life is not there for you, and you cannot say those words. You say them if you want to, but they'll have no meaning. For we know that all things work together for good. If you stop there, and many people do, that is a lie, because it is only to them that love God. And those that are called for His purpose are those that have come by faith to Jesus and begin to walk with Him. And not only are we called, we're also justified, and we're also glorified. And that's what that 30th verse says. What a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You know that we're justified? It means just if I've never sinned. What a gift, just if I've never sinned. And then to come to the point of glorification. Only can this be done by our God through our life. And what a joy it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It all comes from the foreknowledge of God, knowing what decision you and I are going to make. Now, what decision have you made? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? I sure hope so. But my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?